Jaya Radhavanuva Kunjabihari. Jaya Radhavanuva Kunjabihari. Gopinana Balaba Hidibaru Dagunti Gopinana Balaba Hidibaru Dagunti Yasuda Nanana Prajadana Ranjana Suda Nanana Prajadana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Manachare Yamuna Tera Mana Chaldi Jai Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari Jai Radhavanuva Kunjabihari Gopidana Banabha Girivaru Dhauti Gopi jana vallabha Iri bodhadhauti Yasuna nanana braja jana nanjana Yasuna nanana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachati Jai Ho Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari Jai Ho Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravatacharya Osatella Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chamamada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Gijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijai Anandagoti Vaishnava Vrindi Gijai Namacharya Chilahira Stakur Gajay Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Parabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajay Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Kovatna Shyam Kun Radhakunda
Giddy Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Paturnam Kijai, Jagadathasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shimani Galasi, Devi Kijai, Samaveda Pakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premilanda Hari Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasnaya Vudulaya Srimala Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivisesa Sanyavade Paschatadeya Jatarni. So today we are reading from the 10th canto, 21st chapter, text 7 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Shri Gopya Hujuhu. Akshanvatam palamidam naparam vidama. Asakya pashunanu viveshatayor vyasyahai. Vaktram vrachesha sutayor anuvenu chishtam. Yarvani pittam anurakta kataksha moksham. Akshanvatam balamidam naparam vidama. Sakya pashunanu viveshatayor vayasyai. Vaktram rajesha sutayor anuvenu jushtam. Yarvani pittam anurakta kataksha moksham. Akshanvatam balamitam naparam vidamaha. Sakya pashunanu viveshatayor vyasyahai. Moktham rajesha sutayor anuvenu chishtam. Yarvani pittam anurakta kataksha moksham.
Thank you.
Okay. Shri Gopyaha Uchuhu. The gopis said, Akshanvatam. Of those who have eyes, Palam, the fruit, Idam, this, Na, not, Param, other, Vidamaha, we know. Sakyaha, O friends. Pashun, the cows. Anu viveshayatoho. Are causing to enter one forest after another. Vayasyahai, with their friends of the same age. Voktram, the faces. Vraja Isha, Almaraj Nanda. Sutayoho, of the two sons. Anuvain of Jushtam, possessed of flutes. Yahai, by which? Va, or. Nipitam, imbibed. Anurakta, loving. Kata Aksha, glances. Moksham, giving off. Translation, the coward girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavana. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So you can repeat. The coward girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavana. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So the purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada states, actually an interesting purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, fourth chapter, text 155. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented as follows. The gopis meant to say, O friends, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, what will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes. So let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see, Krishna. The gopis were aware that their mothers or other elder persons might hear their romantic words and disapprove. And thus they said, Akshanvatam palam. To see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves. In other words, the gopis indicated that since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why couldn't they love him in spiritual ecstasy? According to the Acharyas, a different gopi spoke this in each of the following verses. That's through text 19. And I'll read the Acharyas commentaries, but first I want to say a few things about this. So Ashi Gopya Uchu Akshan Vatam Balamidam Naparam Vidama Sakya Pashan Anunupiveshet Yoraya Shahai Vatram Rajesha Sutiyorana Venu Jushtam Yarvani Pitam Anuvrakta Kataksha Moksham. So, Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur and Meditam Vienna Tasmai Shi Gurve Namaha. So, very interesting, this word here in the verses, Akshan Vantam, of those who have eyes, Palam, the fruit. And I'm going to comment on that in a second. I was just listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada this morning when she was talking to Mr. Nair. Not Mr. Nair, it's not Mr. Patel. Not Mr. Nair. Mr. Patel on the beach in Mumbai, Juhu. And he was saying the only purpose of these eyes is what? To see Krishna. He said there's no other purpose. And actually, Prabhupada was talking about the purpose of this whole material world. And this is something called teleology, for those of you who study philosophy, which means the study of purposes. So what is the purpose of this material world? The purpose of the material world is to rectify our consciousness, give us an opportunity to rectify our consciousness so that we can become Krishna conscious. The purpose of the prison, hopefully, is to rectify the prisoners so that they can actually become honest people. As we many times mentioned before, there's different theories of justice. There's the retributive justice, and that's not really the proper type of justice. Retributive justice means that the purpose of the prison house is to torture the prisoners so they get what they deserve. It's actually funny. It's not funny, actually, that people take joy in seeing others suffer, especially if that other person caused them some suffering. That is not a Vaishnava's mentality. Vaishnava mentality is basically para dukkha dukkhi. It's one of compassion. It's one of forgiveness. Very, very important. Like Haridas Thakur, he was not only forgiving those who were beating him in 22 marketplaces, but he was feeling sorry for them. He wanted to do the best thing for them. And Prahlad Maharaj also, not only was he forgiving his father, it's not even a question of forgiving his father. He didn't even get angry with his father to forgive him. That's pretty exalted, isn't it? You know, it's one thing, I forgive you means that at a particular point in the past, you were feeling angry at a person, isn't it? It's implicit. When I say, you know, someone comes to me and says, oh, please forgive me. You know, of course, it may mean that they're just feeling guilty. Well, but if I actually honestly say I forgive you, that means I was feeling something different in the past. Anyway, so that's retributive justice means that one really wants to see someone who has done an injustice to you or an injustice to society suffer. Oh. Just like people are talking politics now, right? That if someone doesn't win the election, I can't take sides because it's illegal. So if someone doesn't win the election, we're really going to like get him, you know, get him. That's called retributive justice. And the other type of justice is restorative justice, in which you're interested in just bringing the person to the proper platform. And you're not trying to get even. What is that saying? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and the whole world will be blind and without teeth or something. We'd probably be pretty good for the dentists. And those who give like glass eyes to people or something like that. So, of course, that's biblical, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We don't accept that. So anyway, so the purpose of the material world is to restore people. And if you understand that, then you understand that the purpose of everything that we have, like our senses, is meant to perceive Krishna. And if we don't utilize our senses to perceive Krishna, that is the eyes, the nose, the legs, whatever, you know, active senses and perceptive senses, then those senses are useless. And I thought in this regard, I would read some verses from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, third chapter, that actually talks about this. This chapter is entitled Pure Devotional Service. And this is how a devotee sees, a pure devotee sees that. And of course, it's very much connected to, what is it? Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda vidahena me. Without you, Krishna, this whole material world is shunya. So I'm connecting it to one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verses, the Shikshashika verse, that everything is useless if it's not used in Krishna's service. Hmm. And I was speaking the other night about this. I think it was last night. How when one comes to Krishna consciousness, then one begins to perceive things like that. All past relationships and activities and everything like that. Like I've mentioned many times before I read these verses, that when I travel around the world, people want to take me sightseeing and seeing different things, like the Eiffel Tower and the changing of the guards at Buckingham Palace and Big Ben, which is actually not functioning anymore because they're renovating it, or the Duomo in Italy, which is interesting actually because of church. Duomo means church in Italian. And what else? Oh, yeah, the Harbour Bridge in Sydney, right? And the Opera House in Sydney. So everyone wants to take me to these things or take me bungee jumping or something. So I just, my response is, you know, what connection is there to Krishna? I mean, how will that enhance my Krishna consciousness? And of course, this is also connected to the first two principles of Krishna consciousness, which is to accept everything favorable and what? Reject everything unfavorable. So as someone advances, one sees like that, you know, shunyayitam jagat sarvam. Govinda vidahena me. Without you, Krishna, everything is void. So it's not only relationship to the gopis when Krishna leaves them that, oh, the world is void. You know, of course, it's in relationship to that too. But also everything we do, you know, but has no connection with Krishna, then that's illusion. Of course, that's also connected to the one of the nutshell verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Rite ritam na pratyeta. Na pratyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmano mayam itabhasha yata tamaha. And that verse states that anything without relationship to Krishna or seeing anything without relationship to Krishna is the definition of what? Illusion or maya. It's like a reflection that appears in darkness, which is really, can you imagine reflection in darkness? Reflection is bad enough, but in darkness, phew. Anyway, so let me read these verses. That was a little introduction to these verses. These verses are very inspiring to me in this particular context. And it begins with text 20 in this chapter. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord is to be considered to possess ear holes like the holes of snakes and a tongue like the tongue of a frog. In other words, not only is it useless, your ears or your tongue, you know, it's one thing to say it's useless, but it's actually worse than useless. Because what is the good of having snake holes? That's pretty bad. You know, if it was just useless, you would say, well, ear holes like a hole in the wall or something like that. But this is the ear holes like the holes of snakes. In other words, snakes. In other words, it's evil. Evil. But takes you away from Krishna because it takes you away. Like what snakes do? Snakes kill you or they make you very sick. And so it takes you away from your real happiness. And then a tongue like the tongue of frog. Actually, the tongue of the frog is interesting because the tongue of the frog is used for several things, but causes another reaction. One thing it's used for is calling the lady frogs. Ribbit, ribbit. And it's interesting that in each species of life, the living entities are attracted to the opposite sex, but it's not that in other species of life you're generally attracted to the opposite sex of another species of life. You know, it's not like if a frog starts riveting, it's not that, you know, a male frog, not one of the girls here is going to just madly fall in love. Like one of the girls says, "Can you hear that sound of the frog? My heart is just shivering right now." You run out. It's like the princess and the frog. You know, you kiss the frog, and the frog becomes what, a prince. But the main reason this tongue of the frog is mentioned here is because the frog's tongue, or when the frog uses his tongue, that's actually his throat rather than the tongue. When the frog uses his voice, then he calls the snake, because the snake comes and hears and eats the frog, because the frog is the natural food of the snake. So this is the first verse in the series. The second verse is about the body. The upper portion of the body, although crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if it is not bowed down before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can award mukti. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man if not engaged in the service of the Personality of Godhead. I mean, these are beautiful verses. And we should actually think like that. You know, what is the use? You know, also, you know, I can think like, what is the use of my computer? If it's not, you know, you can actually extrapolate from these particular verses and take everything. What is the use of my car? What is the use of my computer? What is the use of my clothes? What is the use of, you know, Kindle? If it's not, it's all useless. Yugayitam nibhishena shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda. But I hate to make. Anyway, and this is the last verse in the series. The next verse is really appropriate. There's actually two more verses. The eyes which do not look upon the symbolic representations of the Personality of Godhead Vishnu, that means his forms, names, quality, etc. It means also the pictures of Krishna, the deity form of Krishna, are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock. And that means they don't see. Well, one sees, one doesn't see. What is that verse I'm trying to remember? This is one sees. Anyway, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, and I forget it right now. One sees, but one doesn't actually see. That's the verse about the fallible soldiers. Does anyone remember the Sanskrit of that? Wow. And the legs, which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. And then these are very heavy statements, and the purports here are very beautiful. Of course, all purports of Srila Prabhupada are beautiful. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord are also a dead body, although breathing. And then, of course, the next verse is one of my favorite. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. And that's the end of that particular segment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, anyway, that's one point I want to make. And then I want to read some of the Acharya's commentaries on this verse, if that's all right. Of course, commentaries are very similar to this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, My sole goal is the gopis who went out of their houses attracted by the shower of nectar. This is actually his personal realization, his personal statement, which is really, really deep and revealing his mind. And this is something really special in Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur's purports, because he's revealing his own goal in Krishna consciousness, my sole goal. So this is not part of his explanation. It's just part of his revealing his own heart. My sole goal is the gopis who went out of their houses attracted by the shower of nectar from Krishna's flute, and whose sweet words enable us to drink that nectar. And here's his purport. So he's actually manifesting his ecstatic symptoms in this particular explanation. Oh, friends, our senses, which the Lord have given us, are useless if we remain inside our houses. So in other words, it's the same thing that I just explained about the senses. So the gopis say, therefore, let us leave our houses and quickly go to the forest. Directly experiencing that astonishing thing by our sensory actions, such as seeing, our lives will be successful. In other words, without that, our lives are failure. That is what is conveyed in this verse. Akshanvatam is an archaic usage. It means it's done previously. Usually it's not done. That particular usage of that word is not done nowadays. The goal of the eyes for those who see, akshanvatam, is that alone and nothing else. There can be no other opinion. Other opinions are worthless. Whew. So this is really the same thing that's been explained in the Bhagavatam. The goals of the senses is to goals of the senses are to relish the faces of Krishna and Balaram, the sons of the king of Braja, served by his favorable flute. That is the superficial meaning. That, however, is to hide their true feelings. If our mothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws nearby hear our talks, what do we have to worry? Because all the men and women of Braj speak of the sweet face of Balaram and Krishna in this way. With this intention, they speak in this way. But the hidden implication is, those faces give bliss to everyone in Vrindavan forest, even the birds and beasts, but not to us, staying in our houses far away. So in other words, they did a sort of a generic glorification of Krishna that would apply for anybody in Braj, not just for the gopis, so that they wouldn't be suspected. But their real point was that they were lamenting that we cannot leave our stupid houses. Just like the explanation here in the Bhagavatam. It's just like, what is the use? What is the use of our eyes? What is the use of our houses? What is the use of anything like that if we can't see Krishna? This is really the point being brought out. Vasudeva had said, oh, Nanda, think of my son Balaram as if you were his father. Shukadeva says, the mother and father Yashoda and Nanda called out to Balaram and blessed him. By such statements, therefore, Balaram is commonly known as Nanda's son, and therefore, in this verse, the gopis describe him as such. Just an explanation. However, there's a hidden meaning here. Vrajeshya Sutayo Vaktram can mean that face among the two of them which was turning back, Anu playing the flute. Try to listen carefully. This is a little complex here. The word va with nipatam, to drink with intensity, indicates seeing, touching, hearing, smelling, or tasting that face. So the gopi is really just like it. All their senses, the point is all their senses were enlivened to taste the face, the flute, everything connected with Krishna. If the alternative reading va is used, it means certainly they taste. Those who, giving up shyness and steadiness, drink that face, playing the flute, among the two sons who herd the cows in the forest, surrounded by their friends, have fortunate senses and not others. Therefore, they intend to say, today, let us give up all family tradition, shyness, and control. Yes, let us see, touch, hear, and smell him. But how is it possible, since we are so shy? So these are different bhavas that it's actually a conflict situation. Approach avoidance. That face releases glances. Kataksha moksham upon those who are attracted to him, anurakta. He will search you out and release the arrow of his glance. When it strikes you, you will become agitated with love and forget your shyness and control. Then you will look without shyness on that face. It's really amazing purport. And so there's some more purport here. Jiva Goswami states, Sridhar Swami does not accept the words the gopi said, since in his commentary he says that they speak a description of Krishna. It would be unsuitable that he would repeat what is already understood by the words the gopi said, or that he was explaining the phrase the gopi said. However, the words the gopi said are accepted everywhere. Yasham buddhyeto vagarto yasham eva prasadata gopi prapadyeta yabhisa gambirashayo jitaha. I surrender to the gopis by whose mercy one can understand their words and by whom his deep heart was conquered. This is a verse just written by Jiva Goswami, also revealing. So in other words, these acharyas, while they're reading the Bhagavatam, writing their commentaries, they can't keep themselves from expressing their own particular bhav or emotions. So you saw that in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and now you see that in Jiva Goswami. I'll just repeat Jiva Goswami's verse. This is not his commentary. This is his expression of his emotions. I surrender to the gopis by whose mercy one can understand their words and by whom his deep heart was conquered. Whew. That's so beautiful. I'm going to read the Sanskrit because it's actually quite beautiful. Again, yasham buddhita bhagarto yasham eva prasadata gopi prapadjeta yabhisa gambirashayo jitaha. It's very deep. Gambirashayo jitaha. It's conquered. That means, yeah, Krishna's deep heart was conquered. Just these two words. Gambirashayo jitaha. Think about those two words. Gambira. Of course, that's also where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Jagannath Puri, in the Gambira. It means very deep. Very much realized. Gambira shiho jitaha. Conquered Krishna's deep heart. Whew. Sorry, I'm experiencing a little ecstasy by reading this. Excuse me. Though they describe Krishna with Balaram externally and try to hide their real emotions for Krishna, they cannot do so because of their particulars revealed through their natures. That is shown in the verses. Sridhar Swami's commentary is explained. We know the success for those who have eyes. We do not know any other result than seeing our beloved. It's the same thing. What is that result? It is experience. Nipitam, which means it's like tasted. It is what is tasted, jushtam, or what is tasted by them when they experience the face is the result, when they go to see the face of Krishna. How can others understand the object of what is experienced and tasted? They do not clearly state the object, but they say only this in the beginning, making it secret, since it would be unsuitable to mention the name abruptly. Or they are unable to state clearly the details, since they are overcome by intense prema. The two boys bring the cows to the forest with their friends. We do not know any other result for which eyes, what has eyes than seeing Krishna in this way, not with others, nor at any other time. Let other people understand what they want. This is sarcastic speech. Our eyes have no success since now we cannot see him. See, this is the mood of the whole verse and purport. Our eyes, whatever, our body, nothing has any sense or success. However, they can experience his face, their eyes will be successful. They reap this result when they go to the edge of Braj. This expresses their desire to see him playing in the forest. Their pain arising from lack of satisfaction, arising from deep prema, is their very nature. Oh, friends, you know this directly. The two enter one forest after another, Anu, by making sweet signals. They are the two sons of Nanda. Harivamsa says, Vasudeva iti kyato gosu tishtati bhutale. Vasudeva stayed on earth among the cows. Thus, now it's Vasudeva, sorry. Vasudev stayed on earth among the cows. Thus, Vasudev also had many cows and could be called Vrajesha as, well, actually, that's Vasudev at this point, yeah, as Balaram's father. Or Vrajesha can refer only to Nanda, since he regarded Balaram as his own son. Vasudev said, Vratara mama sutakachin matra saha bhavad vraje tatam bhavantam manvano bhavad vyam upalalitaha. My son Baladev, being raised by you and your wife, Yashoda considers you his father and mother. Is he living peacefully in your home with his real mother, Rohini? Anyway, there's much more purport here. And just tremendous purport, which we don't have time to read. So we have less than a minute. So any questions or comments about this verse? But basically the theme that's mentioned here, the gopis are actually hankering to see Krishna, and they're thinking, without seeing Krishna, our eyes are useless. The only purpose of our eyes is to see Krishna. And at the same time, they're covering up their statements about Krishna by giving generic glorification of Krishna than any resident in Braj would give. So how that applies to us is very easy. That everything without relationship to Krishna is Krishna's illusory energy. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar. Krishna the sun, Maya's darkness, the absence of Krishna's darkness. Everything else is useless unless we can engage in Krishna's service. And then happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. I'm